So we are privileged this Thanksgiving Sunday to have Greg Somerville here. Greg's ministry is in Guatemala, but let me tell you a little background. Greg used to go down to a deaf school in Mexico and just help, kind of do maintenance and hang out with them. And he didn't know sign language, but he just had a desire to be involved with missions. And so that was an easy mission for him to be involved with. Then for a while here at the church, we had a Spanish ministry, and he and his wife and family started attending just so they could learn Spanish, not knowing what God had for them. Years later, God laid it on their heart to go to Guatemala, and where they speak Spanish and sign language, and start from scratch a deaf school. And so I think it's been 10 years, hasn't it? 11 years ago, we sent them out. We're their sending church, their home church. Other churches support him. But if you want to get behind Greg on a personal way, listen to what he's doing, catch his heart, and support him. And if you want to support him directly, you may do that, or you can support him through our church because we support him. So we already have that ability to help Greg and all the orphans. They're almost like orphans. When you're deaf, you're kind of excluded from your family, to be honest. So it's not an orphanage, but it's the closest thing to it. So I'm just going to turn it over to Greg to share for the next 30, 40 minutes, whatever it takes, Greg.
Well, hour and 10 minutes.
All right. We make it our goal to be out by noon, Greg. Noon at the max.
Noon what time? Alaska time? Just a few. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Okay. Guatemala Deaf Ministries. Okay, as Pastor Mike was saying, we founded this 10 years ago, because we went there not knowing we were going to be there for any more than 2 years, and so you don't need a ministry if you're just going to be there for a couple years. But God had a different idea, and so bingo, we're going back in January 14th, and that'll be starting our 12th year. So that's a long time. We did not think we were going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. But anyway, actually, I have the clicker. Oh yes. Whoops, two of them. All right, so what we've been doing is we've been, because of the COVID thing, we came back on April 4th, and that was a whole nother story, and if it was Alaska time, I could tell you about it, but it's not, so I won't tell you that story, but a very cool story on how God got us to come back. We weren't doing anything there. We were teaching Mario, and I was just literally doing a few little bit of office work. Nobody was at the ministry center, and I was welding. I was just having fun in my welding shop with Mario, and he and I were just, we made a little car actually, but anyway, I wish I would have taken a picture of it, but I didn't. So anyway, so the staff has been feeding families ever since about the beginning of May, and because there's a lot, and we found out there was a lot of families that aren't working, and they needed food, so we started doing that. So this is our staff doing the feeding. If you notice, everything is super green there, very, very green, lots of foliage and everything. This because it's been raining a lot. Now, where we are in Jutiapa, we're in what they call the dry corridor, okay? And so that we don't get as much rain, but in other parts, Izabal, which is north, kind of east of us, and in Petén, Honduras, they have been really hit hard. There was a village in Cobán, which is a little bit west of us and way north, just under Petén. One village lost, I think, 106 people in the little tiny village, but the whole mountainside just slid right down with mud and just buried everybody, and so very, very sad. water up to this high in the houses. I've seen a lot of pictures that they've posted on the news and what I've gotten from friends down there. So very, very tragic. But thank God where we are, no, it's lots of rain, but no, nobody has died or anything from that. So please be praying about that for the people that have lost loved ones and such. So, but like I said, we're, wrong way. Okay, so we're feeding families. So what we're doing is we're using some of our budget money, and then we're gathering in some other funds that have come in, and we're the staff is ordering food. I just got a text this morning from Elvie saying, you know, when are we going to do another feeding? And so we got to figure that one out. These are some of the families. These two are brothers, Osman and Abner. I think it's Osman and Abner. Couple of neat guys. This is some of the other guys. This is all in Katocha. Actually, this is in, I think it's in the home of one of our staff members. So that's kind of cool. This is Mario. This is a family that several months ago we were feeding all these families from our deaf kids and the deaf people in our church and their families and everything. And some of the other families started neighbors and stuff and another church that's nearby started saying, hey, you guys have food? Would you mind, you know, giving us some food? And so we said, sure. So this family, they're not associated with the deaf or anything, but they're getting, I think this is the second time that they've gotten a bunch of food from us. This is Guadalupe and her parents. Guadalupe came when she was 5 years old, five years old. She didn't walk until she was four. And so her mom died giving birth to her, and her dad split because he didn't have a wife and he didn't know how to take care of a baby. So he left, and those are her grandparents. Wonderful, wonderful people. Jeanette, is she the one that you led to the Lord, the Catholic? No. That was Victoria. Okay. This is Natividad, which is Nativity. That's her name, the grandmother's name. I can't remember what the grandfather's name is. Wonderful, wonderful people, though. And they're learning sign language, which is kind of cool. Okay, so this on the right is Stephanie. On the left is Valeria. They are sisters. Dave, go ahead and play the little clip there if you can. She says, hello, thank you for all of this food. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you. And then her sister says, hearts and kisses. And then somehow the video ended. So that's all I got. So, all right. And then the next, let's go to this one. Okay, so this is Lucky. This is a woman and her husband. They come to our church. And so she's going to sign. Go ahead and play that one. She says, thank you, thank God for helping us all this food and for all of the deaf. There's no work. They look all over and they're just waiting for it to open. They're bored sitting in their houses. He's looking for work and just can't find it. And they're very worried. And all the deaf, you're helping all the deaf, and we really just thank you, and the blessings we know are coming from God, and thank you for the help. So, she's a really neat lady, so. Whoops. Okay, so, another thing that we've been doing is we've been trying to stay involved in the community, and this is just recently, this is probably 3 weeks ago. Elvis is on the left, Jonathan is kind of in the background there a little bit. Jonathan is deaf. Elvis is hearing. Elvis is our administrator. They went to a meeting of all of the NGOs in Jutiapa, which is non-government organizations. And so we're one of the big non-government organizations there in Jutiapa. So so that we're part of that. And so it just gets us in. It gets us so that they know who we are. They know what we're doing. They know that we're there to help the deaf. And so it's kind of a cool thing. Okay, this is Mario. This is our little boy, Mario. He's back in the orphanage. He wore his indigenous material bow tie, and I wore my indigenous material tie to kind of match with Mario. He's all dressed up for some staff thingy that they had there at the orphanage, but he's doing well. He misses us, and of course we miss him. The director says that he really misses the school because nobody knows how to teach him, so they're teaching him a lot of math. So he's doing really well in his math, but he's falling behind in some of the other subjects, so we're hoping to get back there and get him caught up. Okay, hello. There we go. Okay. Our booklets are doing, Jeanette really hasn't been, she's actually been kind of revising some of the pictures here and there, but we actually, 2 months ago, we sent a bunch of booklets to Burundi. Anybody know where Burundi is? You know where Burundi is. Where's Burundi? In Africa. It's right next to, it's a little tiny country right on the western side of Tanzania. And so there was a deaf school there with 130 kids in it, and there was a missionary that found out about us through, I think, my wife's sister, and they wanted some stuff to take there, and so we said sure, and so we sent them a bunch of stuff, and so now our booklets are in another country in Africa. And then we also just a few days ago and a couple weeks ago, I started sending booklets to a gal by the name of Salma in Mexico who got our name, I have no idea how, probably off of the internet or something. And she found out that we had Bible story booklets for the deaf, and she wanted them. They were starting some churches that were going to be churches, not just one. I thought it was one church. Then I went back and read the email. I was like, no, this is churches, plural. In Mexico, in their area there, wherever they were. And so that's kind of cool. So the Word of God is going out even for the deaf, even in these times of the COVID virus. So, all right. This is the picture. I showed you guys this picture before. This is kind of like the primo spot of land that we want for the ministry there in Guatemala. This is owned by the dairy farmer guy, Rene Padilla. And so we contacted him. I was supposed to fly there a couple or 3 weeks ago, and Elvis called and said, Greg, it's still too crazy here. Don't come, just come in January. So 2 weeks ago, Rene came to our ministry and he said, where's Greg Somerville? I want to talk to him. And he's kind of motivated right now because his wife is sick. They have no children. If they die, then their family and they don't get along. And so he says their family, they're just going to fight over the property. He's got a little over 100 acres. Now, we don't need 100 acres unless, Lord, you want to give us 100 acres. I'll take whatever you give us. But he wants to talk to us about it, either partnering with him with this dairy farm and or purchasing property from him. So he's open to whatever. So we want to be praying about that too. So, and in fact, let's go back to this is our staff. Our staff actually started work in the ministry last Monday. So this tomorrow will be their second week there in the ministry, and they're just preparing for classes. And so we want to be sure to be praying for them. So things to pray for. Meeting with Rene Padilla about the property and the dairy farm, that's coming up. We're flying back on the 14th. We wanted to go earlier, but we have a board member coming out to sign. They've changed the rules over at Union Bank, and now everybody that's on the statement of information for the state of California has to be on the signature card. So it's like, okay, well, how do you do that? And so they said, well, you got to get your board members all here. I said, can you mail the signature card there? No, they all got to be there. So, okay. So now they're flying out from Tennessee to visit one of their daughters and some of their family. for Christmas, and so they're going to come over, but they can't come over until like the 11th of January. So we're going to go to the bank and get all that taken care of, anyway, so we're flying back on the 14th, and we're going to have the meeting with Renee, and so that'll be exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. Also, our bus driver quit a few weeks ago, and so we need a bus driver. So anybody, raise your hand if you want to volunteer to be a bus driver in Guatemala for the deaf kids. I don't see any hands. Brock, I see that hand. Thank you very much. Rick, you weren't supposed to say anything. You're discouraging the people here. So, okay. So, but we do need a bus driver. So, please be praying about that. Elvis. Oh, and the problem is not only with the bus driver, but the problem is that we can only put half the amount of people in the bus. So we're trying to work with the Ministry of Education and say, look, we've got this small little school, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what's happening with that. This next week, they're supposed to have a meeting with the parents of the students that are coming back to school next year. I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off for next week. So probably the week of the 30th, of November 30th, they'll have a meeting for next school year, which starts the last Tuesday in January. So we can be praying about that. And then also just for continued help for the staff and the students. I don't know if you guys remember if I announced it or whatever, but one of our staff a couple months ago or 3 months ago did get COVID. She was visiting one of the families and they ended up getting it, and then she got it. But she recovered fine. It was no ill effects or anything. So thank God she's doing well. And so we just want to pray for health and for the staff and for the students. And so, all right. So that, is there any questions on Guatemala? Any questions? Nobody has any questions. That means I did such a wonderful job explaining all what. Vicki. That's still a problem. The families, they don't want to admit that their child is deaf, and so we had one particular one where they were, in fact, our own cook, she would say, Karen, 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 and I don't know how many times I've told her, Sandy, your child is deaf. They can't hear you. They can't respond. So Karen's off down the hallway, and she's yelling for her, Cotton, Cotton, come here, Cotton, don't go down there. So it's just very, very difficult for them to realize that, no, they're deaf, they can't hear, so you need to learn how to speak sign language. You need to get their attention so that you can speak sign language to them. So, but anyway. All right, so thank you guys for praying for us and supporting us. My goodness, like I said, when we started out 12 years ago, we didn't know sign language. I knew a little bit of Spanish. We God, you guys came alongside of us. We were going to the church here learning Spanish. And I could tell you stories about that if it was Alaska time. But, it's been a really cool ministry. We're the largest ministry for the deaf in Guatemala. We have the largest school, and it's not because Jeanette and I are these big, powerful, wonderful missionaries. It's just because of what God has done, and so all the glory goes to Him. So anyway, so that is it for my update. Whoops. All right, so what I want to do is I want to have a little talk on an attitude of gratitude. All right, so let's go ahead and pray for this message today. Lord, we just thank you for today being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, Lord, and it's we need to be thankful every day, but Lord, we do take a day out during the year and just really concentrate on just all the blessings that you've given us, and we are so thankful. I'm so thankful for so many things, Lord. It would be too many to even list here right now. unless it was Alaska time. But thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the people that support us and for our wonderful staff and our kids, Lord, that are learning about you in Guatemala that would normally not even have a language, Lord. They wouldn't even know how to communicate to their parents or to other people. But you are making that possible through Guatemala Deaf Ministries, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Teach us something today about gratitude and about from your word about what we're to do and how thankful we're to be and the different ways in which we're to be thankful. And we thank you, and I thank you for that, Lord. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And then I added, even in the midst of darkness. And, you know, we've had some crazy times this year. It's been a really, you know, goofy year. Pastor Mike said, you know, think of something that you can be thankful for. Well, man, there's a lot of things that I can be thankful for this year. I literally sat in my office in Guatemala in the middle of March thinking, well, there goes the ministry. There goes the giving. There goes, you know, there goes everything. We can't have school. We can't have church. How long are we going to be here? And God just kind of worked everything out, and he's blessed us, and it's just been amazing. So I want to start out with gratitude, just giving you a little bit of an academic lecture, so to speak, a teaching on gratitude and the different places in the scripture. And then I want to end with a story, with a really cool story from the Old Testament. Actually, we're going to end with a song. The worship team is going to come back up. We're going to end with a song. So, but gratitude is gratus, which is Latin. And that was kind of one of the first languages, especially in Italy there back in Rome. Gratus is gratitude, means gratitude. Then it's interesting that gratia or gratia, they really don't know how they spoke it back in those days because nobody really speaks the same thing. There's Old Latin, and then there's Ecclesiastical Latin, which is what kind of like the Catholic Church speaks a lot today. And in fact, they taught Latin in schools up until the 50s, I think, something like that, here in America. So it's kind of weird, but they kind of quit all that. But grace, gratia or gratia, is grace, and the ecclesiastical version of that is gratia, and that's where we get our word gracious. We get the sh sound out of the T-I-A, so kind of interesting. All right, I've always wondered, you know, why do we say, somebody going to say grace at the dinner table? You know, some of you old folks, you guys remember that term. Maybe some of the younger ones don't remember that, but saying grace at mealtimes was a very big thing. So grace in Latin, grace comes from gratitude. So that's interesting, the word does. So in Spanish, grace is gracia. Gracia. This is the sign, okay, in Guatemalan sign. I don't know if it's ASL, but this is grace. And thanks is gracias. It's a plural of gracia. So, and I guess you really wouldn't have graces, but as a noun. That's a plural noun. But anyway, so gracias is thanks. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. Giving you guys a little background. Whoops. Going way too fast here. Okay. One of my favorite verses on thanking the Lord. You know, we in our house, we thank the Lord for the food. Every time we sit down, every time we have a meal, we thank the Lord for the food. And it really stems off of lots of verses, but this is my favorite. And it says, 1 Timothy 4:4-5 says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So we thank the Lord for our food, and thereby believe it is sanctified and good for us to eat. Okay, so Matthew 15, we have this, the account of Jesus feeding the 4,000. And he says, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Now, in the feeding of the, and this is the same in the Mark account, in the feeding of the 5,000 is, I believe, is in all 4 Gospels, and they use the word blessed, and Jesus blessed blessed the food. And so, that's kind of an interesting thing. But even part of the word blessed, if you look it up in the Strong's, even part of that word is to be grateful, to be thankful. So then we have the story in Acts 27. Now, if you guys remember, Paul is in the ship. He's a prisoner. He's going to Italy. There's 260 or so people on the ship, and they're encountering a storm. It's like weeks of storm, and he says, everybody's going to come through this okay. Don't worry about it. And so right at the very end, just a couple of days before they actually made it to shore, he said, let's have a meal together. And so when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So he gave thanks for the food. And then right after that, they ran aground, the ship broke up, and they all made it to shore safely. So he was giving thanks to God for the food. So all of these kind of have to do with food and eating and even the Lord's Supper. We have 1 Corinthians 11, 24, and this is recounting what happened at the Last Supper. And when he, Jesus, had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So all of these verses are in context with giving thanks for the food that we eat. And I'm very, very thankful for the food we eat. My kids joke, and they said, we always knew when Dad was working good and the jobs were, you know, coming in good because we got a little meat or we got a tomato. To them, tomatoes were really a cool thing. Otherwise, we ate a lot of potatoes, you know, growing up, which is, you know, good. But all right, so those are on food. Then I kind of looked and I thought, man, there's an awful lot of verses in the Psalms that talk about giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. And it was like 20, 30 verses, something like that. Psalms 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. That's why I love coming to church inside here, you know, and with the worship team giving the music, and we're able to sing praises to the Lord and to thank the Lord for what he has done in our lives. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. We're supposed to remember what the Lord has done for us. So that's kind of important. And again, it says sing praise. So these are all verses from the Psalms, kind of interesting. And then there's one in Ephesians 5:15 through 21, and it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Does that kind of sound familiar? Man, a lot of crazy stuff is going on right now in the world. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is important too. Okay, giving thanks always for all things. Okay, so there's a double all. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So we're supposed to give thanks for everything. And I know sometimes that's difficult, but that's what the scripture says. Another thing I looked up, I thought was really kind of fascinating. I'd never put the two and two together, because Paul talks a lot. He thanks the Lord a lot. But Paul is considered the thankful apostle. Have you ever heard of that Pastor Mike, he's considered, if you look it up, he's considered the thankful apostle, which is kind of interesting to me. These are just a few of the many verses that are listed. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, Romans 1:8. I do not cease to give thanks for you. And then it goes on, making mention of you in my prayers. He says that phrase is used several times in the scripture, making mention of you in my prayers. we always give thanks to God for you all, 1 Thessalonians 1:2. So I think that that's something that we really need to do more of. We need to be, you know, thanking God for Pastor Mike and this church, for the leadership, for the deacons and deaconesses and the elders, and thanking the Lord that we have such a nice place to come and worship, that they're not afraid to kind of be a little bit rebellious as far as what the governor is telling us, and meeting here like this and having a Thanksgiving dinner and stuff. I really, as Greg Somerville, I really appreciate that. And because that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to give thanks. And it's really difficult to, it was wonderful sitting out in the car. That was great after all those months. But, huh? When it was warm, but even to come inside and to worship inside is just, you know, it's just the fellowship that you, I mean, this is just wonderful, you know, and a lot of people don't have this. And so we need to be thankful for those around us, for our families, for the people that are over us spiritually. So very, very important. All right. So, in this box, I have, it contains all of the reasons why you shouldn't be thankful, okay? All the reasons why you shouldn't be thankful. It's empty, okay? So you guys, you really need to be thankful regardless. Okay, that's the point of that. Okay, there's a cool story in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm only going to read 1 through 25, but it's about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was, I think he was the fifth one underneath King David. I think that's the way it goes. And he was in the tribe, he was a king over the tribe of Judah, the southern tribe, all right? And you know, the Bible talks about a king so-and-so, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father did, or not as his father did, as whatever the case may be. Well, Jehoshaphat was a king that did good in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, so he was a good king. All right, so we're going to read a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. All right, so it says verses 1 through 25. Now it came about after this, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with the some of the Maonites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Now, did you go to En-Gedi when you were there in Israel? Okay, En-Gedi is south. It's between. It's right on the Red Sea, on the Dead Sea, and it's south of Jerusalem in that kind of that really dry valley. Anyway, and so they were coming up from the south. Okay. Jehoshaphat was afraid. Okay. Now, how many of you guys have been afraid in a situation? You got a situation coming up at work. You got a situation. Maybe you had an accident in the car, or maybe something happened or whatever, and you're afraid. Gosh, that happens to me all the time, unfortunately. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. You know, if I could just get that in my head, that when something bad happens, no, Greg, just turn to me. Greg, just turn to me. And I think things would work out a lot better. And I, you know, you get all caught up in the moment, and it's like, oh my gosh, what's happened? This army's coming. I don't know what to do. They're going to slaughter us, you know. But no, it says Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a period of fasting throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. So here they're all gathered, and he's saying, look, guys, you know, we got this army here. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and he said, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. You're all powerful, Lord. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land from your people Israel and give it to the descendants of your friend Abraham forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you did not allow Israel to invade when you came out of the land of Egypt, for they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. If you want to know the reason why, read Deuteronomy chapter 2 on that. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from our possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. So we're not talking about just the men here, because a lot of times, you know, even in the New Testament, when it says that Jesus fed the 4,000, it was only talking about the men. No, this is saying all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. So wouldn't it be cool if when something terrible came upon us, that and we didn't know what to do? I mean, gosh, how many times has that happened? Lord, I don't know what to do. I am lost in this situation. I don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you, Lord, and we know that you're going to get us out of this situation. So anyway, I thought that was pretty neat. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, and he said, listen, all of you Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. This is God's battle. This is not your battle. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow, so he says, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, which is just north of En-Gedi there, as you're approaching more towards, you have to go north from En-Gedi and the Dead Sea, and then you have to go up into the hill, up the hill, to go to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem sits pretty high, okay? And you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle, okay? You need not fight in this battle, okay? So, hey, if you don't need to fight, let's just all sit home and just relax, and we don't need to fight. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you need not fight in this battle. Take your position. Well, wait a second. Why do I need to take my position if I don't need to fight in the battle? Okay? And I believe that that's, God is speaking to us today saying, look, you don't sit in your homes and you get down on your knees, you get into battle position. And of course, their battle position was marching out there. Our battle position is on our knees. Okay, so he says, take your position, stand and watch the salvation of the Lord in your behalf, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Okay? Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Okay, so now here you got to picture this. So the king, everybody is bowing down. Okay, everybody is on the ground, their face on the ground, they're on the ground praying. Okay, then it says the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and from the sons of the Korahites stood up to pray. They stood up. So here's this group of Levites, and they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Okay, so they weren't just praying silently. They were shouting. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, for the Lord your God, and you will endure. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed. Okay, so here's he talking with all the people, and he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him. He put them in holy attire as they went out before the army. Now, who would put singers and people that praise the Lord before the army? If you're going out to battle, why would you slaughter those people first? No, it's because he knew by faith. No, God had already said, the battle is mine. I'm going to fight this battle. You guys don't need to. You just need to take your position. You need to go out there and you need to stand. And that's what he did. And then it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness is everlasting." Now, when it's sitting in, some versions say, "Praise the Lord." But that word really means, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it really means giving thanks. It also means confessing your sin. Okay? Confessing that God is who he is. Remember the Psalms that, you know, thank God for your holy name. Okay? So it's kind of all of that wrapped into one. Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were struck down, for the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, completely destroying them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they basically just killed one another. Judah didn't have to do anything. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they turned toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses laying on the ground, and there was no survivor. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoils, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry, and they were taking the spoils for 3 days because there was so much. And then it goes on to say that on the fourth day, then they blessed the Lord. And if you look up that word again, that blessed, it means that they were giving thanks to the Lord as well. So this to me is a wonderful story, especially for us right now, especially for the time that we're in, with well, what's going on in the world right now, and especially in America, with what's going on this week with Thanksgiving and having a thankful, having a heart of gratitude. So that's very important. I want to invite the worship team up right now. If you guys come on up, I want to sing. There's a song, "Raise a Hallelujah," and I don't know when it came out. I thought it came out this year, but it really has ministered to Jeanette and I. And the chorus says, "I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive." And, you know, we need to remember that, you know, that God has, the story has already been written. Okay, we know who wins. We've read the book. Okay? And I read the end. Of course, I've read it through many times, but I read the end, and we win. You know, God wins. Amen. And so we just need to remember that, okay, Lord, you're going to win. And but you know what? There's a lot of people out there that don't know that. So I think it's part of our job to go out there and to say, hey, look, don't worry about this, God. You know, we're going to win, but you need to be on the winning side, okay? And that's where we can be ministering to our neighbors and our friends and relatives. And the 21-year-old that's got stomach cancer that does not know the Lord, okay? We need to be talking with him and saying, hey, look,